Good afternoon and welcome to the podcast recording of Onoma and Radio Fiskars. Today we are talking to Susan O'Byrne. And in Fiskars, it's me, Pia, and Henny who are tour guides at the About Clay exhibition. I wish to ask you a bit more about your work. First of all, to those who are not present and perhaps haven't heard so much about you yet, could you maybe give us an introduction about who you are?
Yeah, sure. Hi, thanks for having me. Yeah, my name is Susan O'Byrne and I grew up in Ireland. I'm from Cork, the south of Ireland, and I studied ceramics in Edinburgh in Scotland, and now I live in Glasgow in Scotland. So I've been based in Glasgow for about 15 years. But I'm speaking to you now from Montana. So I'm on a residency here for the summer at the Archibrae Foundation in Helena, Montana in the US, which is amazing as well. So yeah, so it's all around the world in 2 seconds.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And so here in Fiskars we have a piece by you which actually consists of several smaller pieces. And for those again who are not here with us and who can see your work, could you maybe describe it for us?
Yeah, sure. That piece of work is a portion of an even larger piece of work, actually, which is 50 animal portraits called A Family Tree. And it was part of a solo show that toured in Germany and in the UK last year and the year before. And that show was called Five Sisters and a Family Tree. It's my family tree to a certain extent, and it's me revisiting stories that I knew in my childhood about my ancestors, whose names are no longer spoken, and as time goes by, I don't have any children and my siblings don't, so the stories and the names that we knew as kids are no longer being talked about, so I wanted to celebrate my family history. I grew up with my grandmother and her 4 sisters who had these stories of their family's migration from the Black Forest to Ireland in 1860, actually. So they grew up in Ireland but were educated in Germany. And my great aunt wrote a lot of memoirs about the family history. And all of these stories were very part of me and my identity. But as time goes on, you know, you lose a little bit of that. So it's a celebration of those people and their names. I tend to make animals in my work. So I've represented these people as animals. I didn't know them personally. So I'm kind of imagining again who these people are. So I chose a lot of exotic animals who are new to me. So in making them, I could kind of get to know new faces in a similar way as if they were people, I guess.
And as you say, they usually portray animals. Why is that?
Why do I make animals?
Yeah.
And I started making animals when I was in art school. And I think the reason I'm attracted to making animals is I really want to talk about humans and perhaps the human sensitivity, and I feel that is a little bit more difficult to do when you go straight to the human figure. So by making animals, I'm really exploring the things that are human that are also with all sentient beings. So it's taking away all the complications of human life and just focusing on sensitivity, which I think works better when it's an animal, because you're stripping that down, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Actually, we've gotten a lot of feedback from the people that have seen your work here at the exhibition saying that they can feel the empathy from these animals that you've created.
Oh, wow. Well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So, I mean, part of the making process as well, I feel, is very much related to the domestic craft that I learned from growing up with this family. And my grandmother and her sisters were always sewing and being very careful about repairing things. So the patterns on the surface of the animals are derived from needlepoint patterns. Some of them would have been patterns that they had made, and some are taken directly from patterns in the V&A, like old white work and black work needlework patterns. And the intricacy of that, and the intricacy of piecing all these pieces of pattern clay on the surface, I hope also reflects that kind of sensitivity of humanity or relationships between people and relationships between generations and heritage and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Could you tell us a little bit about the technique and the process in the making of these figures? Yes.
Well, all of those animal heads I actually modeled from pictures. So again, it's kind of very much removed from actually meeting a person or you know, studying the animal, because I think, as I've sort of inferred, I'm not as interested in the actual animal looking animal-like as I am in kind of just getting to know these faces. So the scale of the heads may not be accurate to reality, but they would have been my imagined, uneducated idea of the scale. And I found out later that I made a chipmunk head way too big because I never saw a chipmunk, which I've just seen chipmunks in Montana and they're the size of mice. I thought they were the same size as squirrels. But that, you know, I think that depiction of the portraits is more about my imagination rather than the actual animals. But so that's where I start, is modeling these animals from pictures and photographs and things on the internet. And I model them in paper mache. And then I take a mold of that animal head and cast it in clay. And then I remodel that quite a bit usually. And the paper clay that I cast it from is a porcelain that I make up from raw materials and adding paper to the clay to allow me to have a model that I can apply a surface of pattern pieces of clay onto. It's a technique I've kind of developed initially making larger forms, but the paper in the clay is really important that I can put these patterns onto the surface. And the way I make the patterns is I drew out some of these needlepoint patterns on Illustrator and then laser cut them and then had stencils. And then I put the stencils onto what we call plaster bats. Ceramic folk will know that they're used for drying out clay. But if I put the stencils on there and then print through them, I get a pattern surface on the plaster. And then I back that up with more clay, can peel it off the plaster, and I end up with sheets of patterned paper clay, a little bit like wallpaper, and then I can cut them and collage on the surface. So then the whole surface gets a kind of a veneer of these patterns on it.
The finish of these pieces look, I mean, it looks really complex, and you can see that it has this mosaic, and some of them are really, really, really small, the pieces that you made. Yeah. So how long does it usually take for you to create one?
I think I always underestimate how long it's going to take, because if I didn't lie to myself, I may never start, because a lot of things do take a very long time. Some are quicker than others. The portraits with very small pieces obviously take a lot longer. And I think the Genaruk, which is the biggest one in Fiskars, well, it would take me over a month to make that, but I would make other things at the same time. So, yeah, there's a lot of different stages and a lot of, like, intricate little bits which take a lot longer than I would like to admit, you know. Yeah, I think part of the fiddliness as well of it is I want to kind of sometimes almost see how far I can go in the detail, you know, with it still working and with it technically still working. So
yeah.
About the details, really many of our visitors, they just stop and they admire all the details, and they just ask us so frequently about how is this done and how long does it take.
Yeah.
And they are yeah, really impressed. It's really the one piece where they stop and they start marveling at the amount of work
that
you put
true
in.
That's nice to know. Yeah, I'm making a piece here in Helena that is a large sheep, and I've made, I should really have a photo, but I've made a shorn sheep, and the patterns that you might get on the body from shearing the sheep, I've made each like a millimeter line of clay drawn around. So there must be thousands of tiny little long strands of millimeter. I know, it's ridiculous.
How long did it take for you to make that?
Well, I've been working on that for 2 months, and it's just about to be fired. But coming to Montana, I had to do a lot of tests as well with clay, because the materials here are different, because the land is different. So to get things to work and to get shrinkage rates correct, with larger animals, I put wire inside them, and I build them a little bit like paper mache with a stoneware body, and then a porcelain body on top. So there's a little bit of like shrinkage issues to work out. So I did about three weeks of testing when I got here for clay.
Okay.
So so it's just about to be fired, so I'll see how that goes.
We will keep our fingers crossed for you.
Thank you. Thanks.
So how did you end up in Montana? Can you tell us more about that?
Well, the Archie Bray Foundation is an amazing organization. It was a ceramic center that started in 1951 with a chap called Archie Bray, who was an enthusiast and worked here in Helena in a brickyard. And he was really interested in the arts, and he got together with some colleagues and decided they were going to start an art center to allow ceramic artists to have a place to work. And you might have heard of Peter Volkis and Rudy Audio, who were the first directors of the center. And over the years, hundreds of ceramic artists have come here to work. They have amazing facilities, and they have an education center, a new one that opened last year, where I'm sitting just now. They have 10 ceramic long-term artists that stay here up to 2 years making work, and then every summer they take in another 10 summer residents. So I'm one of the summer residents. You apply in March, and if anybody is interested, I'd recommend people to keep an eye out for the applications in March, and then usually in April you hear whether you've been accepted, and you get to come here and work with people who are really wanting to push the boundaries of the field, I guess, do new things, and make connections as well, because it's known for its ceramic community, which has been a really nice and inspiring part of the residency, is getting to know all these artists from around the world and see what they're up to, and how they deal with different problems and things like that in the field. So it's a big kind of family that welcomes ceramic people from all over. So maybe somebody from Finland might come next year.
Yeah, it sounds very nice, and like a gathering of an enthusiastic family who wish to do innovations.
Oh, yeah. And we're always having, like, you know, communal meals. And last night we played wiffle ball, which I didn't know what that was, but it's a kind of, I think it's like baseball, but it's kind of, you know, edges the rules a bit, because you have plastic bats and things, so you don't have to play so fair.
It's great. And what have you been working on at the residency?
Well, I've been working on this large sheep and a lot of tests to do with new clays and colors and printing techniques.
So you've been there for 2 months?
Yeah, just over 2 months, and I have another week and a half.
Also, of course, we're a little bit curious about how you ended up here in the show. Do you know many Finnish ceramicists?
Well, I don't, but I've been getting, you know, to know some names just through your show. I don't know, it's Rainer Kurka. His work was on the cover of the catalogue?
Yeah.
Is he from Finland?
No, he's German.
Oh, he's German. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it's been a real pleasure to get to know more work. But I'm really sad I couldn't be there because it makes a huge difference to see the work in person, doesn't it? But I was just invited to be part of the show by Sonja, isn't it?
Sanna.
So she just contacted me last year and asked me if I would send some work. So I was honored to be invited. I made the work for it. So that's how it went.
Also, I think we could feature a sequence of our visitors' questions for you, because they actually ask us a lot.
Yeah.
And some of them were actually already answered by you, how long it takes,
okay,
and how you actually make these figures. But then, now you also answered us that these are your ancestors who you haven't met, but so what they, really many people ask us, so how would these people respond to seeing themselves, would you think, you know,
in what shape they are?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think some people would be okay with it, but you know, I changed the names slightly to protect the innocent sort of thing, because my family name, my grandmother's family name was Hilser, and I changed it to Hirschler to be more of the kind of animal kingdom, Hirsch being connected to deer. So, and some of the other family names are changed to be more animal-like. So slightly disguised it in case anybody would be offended. You know, I haven't made somebody like an anteater because they have a big nose or anything. So I didn't want anyone to be too offended. I hope they wouldn't mind. My great aunt actually was an artist as well. The Ursula, who wrote these memoirs that I took the names from. All the stories were in her memoirs. She was an artist, so you know, I hope that I'm carrying on something that she might have done herself. So
also, really many people have been curious about if there's going to be more of these kind of figures.
Yeah.
They were very interested actually in getting some of their own, but they were already sold out.
Oh wow, oh goodness. Yeah, well I do make the figures, the portraits to order when people contact me, so they have traveled to a few exhibitions, and I think my last making of that show will be in America next year at NSICA in Minneapolis. NSICA is the big ceramic conference. So there's a group of six ceramic artists from Glasgow are taking a show there. We're doing a panel discussion and a workshop as well. So it'll be nice to get them over this side of the water as well, because it's always difficult to ship ceramics, so yeah. But I always do make them. If people contact me, I can remake anything. They're never exactly the same, of course. I use different patterns, but they're in the same vein.
You sort of answered this as well already, but what are your plans for the future now? What are you busy doing apart from flying back and taking part in the show?
Well, I'll be preparing for this show in America next year, and then there's a lot of things that I need to get ready for Christmas as well, because I make smaller works and for a lot of galleries at Christmas. And the gallery in Montana here at the Archie Bray Foundation needs some more work sent here. So I'm always very busy. I think it's partly because the process takes such a long time. So so it'll be a big push up until Christmas, and then coming for the exhibition back to the US. So yeah.
Then we do tend to ask a standard question as the final one. I'm not sure now, because you didn't actually visit us, but if there is someone you would like to bring forward of the other ceramicists that are in the show, do you have a special favorite among all the pieces or all the artists we have here?
Yeah. Well, I've become most familiar with Rainer's work. Is that how you pronounce it?
Rainer Kurka?
Rainer.
Yeah, I believe it could be something like this. I'm not fluent in German, but I believe it could be.
I've become most familiar with that. I really love the sensitivity he uses in the figurative form. But, you know, I've seen so many pictures on Instagram of work that looks so exciting that I've not seen before. I've not seen these artists' works before, so I really feel like I need to revisit it and kind of study people's work. I would have loved to have been there, because I feel like it would have been a real education for me as well, you know. We don't get to see an awful lot of European ceramics in the UK either, and I think that's one of the big little problems with the medium, is that it doesn't travel that easily, you know.
Yeah.
And it's so exciting when you get confronted with work that is so refined and, it's evolved through an artist's career. But when you see it for the first time, it's really exciting. So, yeah, that would have been a real amazing experience if I could have been to Fisker. So I'll just have to kind of keep looking at pictures, I'm afraid.
That's also something, definitely, because it's they're quite good nowadays, so you get like a good idea anyway. But we'll be sure to tell our curator.
You never get the feeling of scale, you know, unfortunately, but I do feel like that the Fisker show was super impressive from what I saw. Really excellent work.
Yeah, it's been lovely to work here, because everyone's so happy with the show as well, and we get a lot of good feedback from the visitors, and the media has received it very well, so it's a
great
place to be at. I think we are going to send your greetings to our curator Erna. She will be very happy to hear you would have loved to be with us.
That would have been nice to have spoken to Erna.
Yeah, she's lovely. And other than that, we thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Lovely to talk to you. And actually forgot to tell you at first, we have greetings from someone for you.
Oh, really?
Yes.
We're three museum guides, and then there's this girl called Johanna. And she used to live in Glasgow before. And I think you've been at the same ceramic studio. She used to collaborate with Vivian.
Oh, that's right.
Does it ring any bells?
Yeah. I do know her.
Well, she says
hello. That's amazing.
And sends her regards.
Oh, thank you. That's so exciting. Wow. Yeah. Are you in the gallery now?
Yes.
Would
we
you
could
like
take
to
a
see?
Tour.
Oh, wow, yeah. Wow. Amazing.
And then we have...
Here's your work.
Here it is.
But you only have like another 2 weeks of the show left?
Yeah. Yes,
wow.
We're closing.
So they're going to their new home soon.
Do you want to see Reinhard's work?
Yes, please.
Yeah, let's go over there. This is something, if you asked me 10 years ago what I'll be doing, I would never have believed what I'm doing right now.
With the With the computer, you mean?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. It probably feels like, you're carrying me around in this little box. Great. Wow. Lovely. Yeah. Thanks so much, guys.
Oh, you're welcome. So I will put you down now and say bye to you properly.
Well, thanks so much, guys, for interviewing me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.